Thank you all for coming out this evening. I'm going to try something a little different. I didn't prepare a PowerPoint, so I'm just going to try to use the scripture app on my iPad. We'll see how well that works. So if I make you dizzy with the scrolling, it's not on purpose. I'd like to start off with this 32nd Psalm. And, you know, I don't have anything new this evening. And, you know, I can't add anything to what God has already, God has already given. My purpose here is to help us in understanding. My purpose is to deliver to you things that I hope are just reminders of what you need in your life or something that you can use as you strive to walk closer with God and put Christ in your life and to keep Christ in your life. So, a Psalm of David. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. And so it's a wonderful thing, that forgiveness of God. It's a wonderful thing. That our sins can be covered, and that he does not count them against us. And that they are as if they are not there. And so as a sinner, that is a wonderful thing. It gives us the opportunity to live a righteous life. Even though, in God's eyes, by the law, we're not righteous and can't be. And so blessed are we when there is no deceit in our hearts before God. And we are honest in our pursuit of salvation in our hearts. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid, I said. I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. So we have to confess and acknowledge that we're sinful, acknowledge that we don't have that righteousness with us unless it be through Jesus Christ. That if we stand alone as a man before God or a woman, that there is nothing that can make us right before him except it be Jesus Christ. And if we're honest in that, if we're faithful in that understanding, and that's in our heart, then there is no lie. There is an understanding that we cannot hide from God. There is an understanding that there can be no deceit between us and God. Because he sees us for exactly as we are. He sees us for everything that we do. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in time, when thou mayest be found surely in the floods of great waters. They shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held, held in with a bit and a bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass about him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. And so, if we wish to be counted as righteous, we must be upright in our heart. We must do those things that God would have us do and not have any deceit in our heart towards him, and be honest with him and confess and know our humility and our place. And so that's really what I want to talk about this evening, is what that means to us and what that means to our faith. So I'd like to go to Hebrews. Chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And so what we know in this life, up to this time, and what we know that the Lord has placed in our hearts and what he has set before us in his scriptures and taught us through preaching, through Sunday school, through the examples that we see in our lives, all of that is important to us. And so, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And so we need to always be aware and not let those things that God has instructed us slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape? How? If the law and the word of God was so steadfast that there was no way to stand before him, how would we escape? If we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. God also, bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. So God has given us all these things. He has given his word. He has given signs and miracles. He has given the voice of angels. He has even given the law so that we can understand what his desire is, that we can have salvation. So that we can see our imperfectness, so that we can understand where we err, so that he can forgive us, and that we can stand before him in righteousness. And he has done all of this so that we can escape the law, to escape the punishment that each one of us would deserve otherwise. And so we are blessed because our sins are covered. We are blessed because Christ made that sacrifice so that we would not have to atone for those things. So that there would be a way that we could stand before God and be considered righteous, even as unrighteous as we are. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels he hath not put in subjection the world to come, wherefore we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is a man, that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him? And so what are we to God, that he should do this for us? Ungrateful children, in the most part. If we're honest in our hearts, if we're honest with ourselves, what are we before God? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things into subjection unto his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. And so for us, Jesus was made low and humbled so that we can understand our humility. So these things are good news. And we know these things. And we should not let them slip at any time. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by grace of God, should taste death for every man. And so it is by grace. It is by grace that we can stand before God and have a hope of salvation. It is by grace that we can be forgiven. It is by grace that we can have our sins hidden and our iniquities covered, and that our faith can be counted as righteousness before God. And it is by grace that all of this is done. Because of the love that God had for us and the sacrifice of his Son. And so we should not let those things slip. We should keep them with us all of the time. For it became him, for when all things, and by him all things, by him whom all things, are all things, excuse me, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. So who's the captain of your salvation? And that's kind of my question for you tonight. Is it you? Or is it Jesus Christ? Because man, we think as men that we have some, I don't know, for lack of the proper word, maybe sometimes we feel like we're entitled to forgiveness, or we're entitled to run our life by our intellect and the choices that we make? Or is Jesus the captain of your salvation? Is he the one that's leading the way? And if, see, if we let it slip, if we let that slide, we forget that Jesus is in charge, then all of a sudden we're in charge. And then the sinful nature that we have and the pride that we possess and that unrighteousness that we truly are takes over and leads us astray. In our own intellect, we think we're doing well. But we're not. If Jesus is not in charge, if Jesus is not the captain of our salvation, so we might have a better idea of things because something would seem more comfortable. Something might make us happy. We have the idea that it might please God even, if we so desire it. But we need to keep Jesus in charge and what he would have us do. And be honest in your heart. And to know whether it's misdirection coming from your own heart and the deceit, or maybe other things in the world that are leading you astray. And be honest. Because when we sin, you know, when we sin, we try to hide that from God. We try to justify it a little bit and say, well, I did it because of this, or I did it because of that, and I'm weak, and we have all kinds of reasons. And everybody can make their own list. And when we sin and when we let it slip, we fool ourselves in thinking that we're totally justified in that. But we forget the only hope of justification that we can have is through Jesus Christ. That he's the one that can justify our sin to make it right before God. That in our unrighteousness we can stand before him justified and forgiven and our sin hidden. And so he has to be in charge. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, and through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear and death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. And so it's not by what we do, it's by what Christ does that this is possible. And it is all only possible because he was willing to do that in obedience to God and for us. So he needs to be in charge. We didn't make the sacrifice. He did. I can't die for my own sins unless I come under the law. And that's a place I don't want to be. But he did it. And so he's in charge. Not me, not you. Not anyone else in the world, only Jesus Christ. So anytime we let that slip, And we forget he's the one that's in charge. That is when we take over and we go another way. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And so Christ understands. He knows us. He knows everything about us. He knows all our flaws. He knows all our weaknesses. It's impossible for us to hide that. So if we are honest with ourselves, understanding that, then it will go well with us. We'll remember our humility and we'll keep Christ out in front. Verse 3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of our God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And so it's not our righteousness. No matter what righteousness that we think we might have, it's still nothing to God. It's now still not right before God except through Jesus Christ. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us. Verse 6, which he shed upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we shall be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Justified by grace. Justified. And so here we are, we stand before God, sinners. I mean, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, sinners, unrighteous before God, and justified by grace, we stand before God. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. So there we have it. Are we saved by grace, or are we saved by works? We are saved by Jesus Christ. And the works that we do that are not of God are our own and can do nothing for us. And so the works that we must do are the works that Jesus Christ would have us do. Because if we would follow his commandments, if we would do according to his will, learn of his way, those are works that would save us. Not our works. So we are justified by grace because of Jesus Christ. And we are made righteous. And that sin is hidden. And so we can stand before God as filthy sinners, being forgiven and justified. But we must have works. We must have those works that are in our lives that lead us to Christ. Because if we let it slip and we go another way and we follow after our own thing, take care of our own desires, those aren't the works of God. Those aren't the things that would lead us to liberty. Those are the things that would lead us to bondage. Those are the things that would drag us away from the heavenly gift. And so it matters what works we have. It matters how we live our lives. It matters who we follow. It says, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. And so, if we're led away into things that are forbidden for us, if we're led away into the world to go after worldly things and not godly things, if we are led away to commit iniquities, reject the Holy Ghost, to go our own way, it's not God that condemns. It's us, because of what we have done. And so we need to always be mindful of that and live a life that is justified. I'd like to go to James. You probably figured that out by now, that I was eventually going to end up in James. Second chapter. It says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord of glory with respect of persons. For if there come unto you, or if it comes, for there come unto you, unto your embassy, a man with a gold ring, in goldly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth gay clothing, and say to him, sit thou here in a good place. And say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? And so there is our purpose of how we should be spending our time, is to not seek after those things that would bring us honor in this world, but to seek after the things that God would desire from us. And you know, God is not a respecter of persons. And so he recognizes the deeds of the poor as well as he recognizes the deeds of the rich and what's in their hearts. And that's what he sees, is what is with us. Not what you and I see. He doesn't see what I see when I see you or you see me. He sees what's inside of us. And so the respect that we might have for one another, it might be good. And I hope it is in love, in compassion, and long-suffering, and in faith towards God for each of us. But yet he looks even past that. And he looks within the soul and in the heart. And he judges that. And that's what he is desiring from us. He's made this possible that we can stand before him in righteousness through Jesus Christ. And what he wants in return is love. What he wants in return is faithfulness to his commandments. What he wants in return is a life lived for him. And if we can do that, if we can do that, we can be justified. But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend one point is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. And so that's the predicament that we're in. Sometimes we judge ourselves or others, and we see a mistake, we see a fault, and we say, ooh, oops, they're a sinner, and we didn't notice what we did yesterday, or the thought we had in our heart, or the evil thought that we had towards somebody else, or even the rebellious nature that we have towards God. And there we are. We've sinned, and we are convinced of the law as transgressors. So here we stand before God, unrighteous, but yet justified. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that have showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. But doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works, can faith save him? And if a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not these things which are needful for the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. And so we have to have those works. We have to have works that are specific. We have to have works that lead us to God. We have to have works that are right before God. We have to turn away from sin, turn away from deceit, turn away from lust, turn away from envy, turn away from hatred, and turn to God. And so those works that we have, if they are to God, they save us. If the works that we have are not to God, they don't save us. And then we are not justified. And so there's this whole argument of works and faith that go on. But it's specific Seest thou how faith wrought with works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was impugned unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. And so we need to be able to stand before God in righteousness. And that can only come by faith and works of faith and belief in Jesus Christ and being honest with ourselves and be faithful to what has been set before us, what has been taught to us, and what we know to be good and right. And likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So it's not works that I decide are good. So if I want to give all my money to the whales, which I wouldn't do, but some might call that good, a humanitarian effort, they would say that's a good work. Would that save me? No, it wouldn't. But if my works are what God desires and directs me to do, that would strengthen a brother, love a sister, do what God would desire of his saints, learn of Jesus Christ, commit my life to him, those are works that will save you. And then you're justified. As men, we all think we're pretty smart. And we all think we have the answers. Sometimes we even ridicule one another and we say, she thinks she's pretty smart. She's got all the answers. Or he, or you can put whatever pronoun in there you want. But that really just shows our pride because we, in that judgment, think that we have the answer and we know that they're wrong or we know we're right. But that's not really the point. The point is to know that Jesus Christ is right and that we're wrong. And that's really it. It's pretty simple. It's hard for us. It's hard for us to do the right thing. And Christ gives us many things to help us do that. You know, he gives us his commandments. He gives us gifts of the Spirit. He gives us faith. He gives us examples in our lives when he follows through on answers to prayers so that we can have confidence in it. All those things that he does for us, that he can strengthen us. In Proverbs, I won't go to it, it's just one quick verse. Proverbs 21:2, every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. We all think we know what's best. And we have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. We have no idea that I think I'm going to leave here, get in my car with my wife, and that Becky and I are going to go home and we're going to greet our dog at the door and prop our feet up and get ready for the next day. But really, I have no assurance that that actually is going to happen. I have an expectation, and I think it's right, but maybe that's not what's going to happen. Maybe something else is going to happen along the way. I don't know, but we think we have the right way. We think we know. So I have a final scripture reading. That's really the gist of what I wanted to talk to you about tonight. And this is a familiar reading. It's in Romans. I think if I do this again, I'm going to have to get a cover for this to get rid of the glare. Romans 8:28. Says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And so, if we believe that all things work to the good of us, there is a purpose in that. And if we kind of look at that sentence a little bit, and it says, for whom he did foreknow. So it's for that person that God knows, and he knew before. And he also did predestinate. And so if I am not letting things slip and following the will of God, doing all those things the best that I can do, earnestly, then I'm predestined. Because he's made a promise. And it's not really even a promise. It's if you do this, this is what's going to happen, beyond a shadow of a doubt. If you follow my commandments, if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you have love in your heart for your brothers and sisters, if you keep yourself humble before me, if you do all these things, you're predestined. And then everything does work for your good. But if I go off after the way of a man, that doesn't happen. It's not predestined. So all things do work for the good of them that love God. To be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestine them, he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then? What shall we say to these things? If God be with us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And so, I hope that was good news in your ears. It was in mine when I read it and learned it. I don't always claim to have success in not letting things slip. It just does happen. But I also know that God will forgive me if I keep him in my heart and do remain repentant of those things. Thank you for your time. I hope I have given you something to think about, of value, that will help you and or remind you so that you do not slip also. Thank you.